have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hallelujah.
All glory, God be to your Lord.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. It is a new year, and if you have not begun fulfilling your tithing commitment, let me remind you of Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 10. God says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "In what way have I robbed you?" In tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. We have all heard these scriptures many times, and yet so many profess to love God, but fail to be obedient to this scripture. The reasoning that many people offer about why they are not tithing tends to fall in a few categories. Number one, they are not comfortable with how the church spends the funds taken in. Number two, they are waiting until they get their bills under control before they start tithing. The problem with these reasons is that God is not in either of these explanations. How can we take God out of something that belongs to him in the first place? If you are not comfortable with how your church spends the funds collected, you should inquire of your church leaders for information on how monies are used. Remember, in order for churches to survive, they must be able to pay a ministerial and support staff to maintain the ministries of the church, as well as the basic upkeep of the church. Additionally, many churches provide other support which help to serve many of the needs of our local communities. Regardless of how the funds are spent, your responsibility is to be obedient to the word of God, and his word is clear. Waiting until you get your bills under control implies that you are the head of your finances, when in fact, God must lead and guide you. God must be first. He does not promise that it will be easy, but if you seek him first and trust him, he will guide you on how to work through your financial difficulties. Psalms 32 and 8 tells us, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye." Simply put, tithing is not an option. I often suggest to people that are just starting to introduce tithing into their budgets to begin by just being consistent in their giving, perhaps giving the same amount each week for a while, and building a plan which gradually increases that amount until they get to the 10% of their gross pay. Without question, God will see your heart and will help you to be successful. Start your year off right. Don't allow anything to stop you from being obedient in your tithing commitment. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. The Martin Luther King Day celebration, often referred to as MLK Day, it's a federal holiday in the United States, marking the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is observed on the third Monday of January each year. He was born in 1929. King's actual birthday is January 15th. The holiday is similar to holidays set under the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. The earliest Monday for this holiday is January 15th, and the latest is January 21st. King was the chief spokesperson for nonviolent activism in the civil rights movement, which protested racial discrimination in federal and state law. The campaign for a federal holiday in King's honor began soon after his assassination in 1968. President Ronald Reagan signed the holiday into law in 1983, and it was first observed just 3 years later. At first, some states resisted observing the holiday, giving it alternative names or combining it with other holidays. It was officially observed in all 50 states for the very first time in the year 2000. Orlando Draper, born September 29, 1963. He was an American Grammy Award-winning gospel music artist, founder of the Associates Choir, and is considered to be one of the top gospel artists of the 1990s. Orlando Draper grew up in Alabama and Washington, D.C. After he finished his musical studies in high school, he moved on to Memphis State University, where he directed the school's gospel choir. Draper was known for his choir directing style. The choir went on performing across the United States, performing for presidents such as Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton. The choir also sang backup for Billy Joel and performed for such celebrities such as Jennifer Holliday, B.B. King, and other gospel artists like Albertina Walker, Beverly Crawford, and Shirley Caesar. Draper also collaborated with contemporary Christian artists such as Russ Taff, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and specifically during the 1994 Dove Awards. Draper hosted gospel workshops around the world. He recorded a live workshop that took place in 1994 in Memphis. In that same year, he recorded Live, a Celebration of Praise, his second Grammy-nominated album. The album's well-known song was My Soul Doth Magnify the Lord. In 1996, Orlando Draper recorded for Warner Music Group and released his third Grammy-nominated live album, Got a Feeling, which debuted at number 2. The song Got a Feeling was featured on Wow Gospel 1998, and the song also made its public debut on Azusa 1996. The album won the Grammy Award for Best Gospel Choir or Chorus Album in 1999. It was at Memphis State University that Orlando Draper formed The Associates, that later performed with Shirley Caesars on Hold My Mule, The Winans, Nicholas, Timothy Wright, Myrna Summers, and many others. Draper recorded for Word Epic prior to his death from kidney failure on July 21, 1998, which after the group continued to record and perform under the name Orlando Draper's Associates. With a voice often compared to the likes of Stevie Wonder and Donny Hathaway, contemporary gospel singer and songwriter Tim Bowman Jr. was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan in a musical family. His father, Tim Bowman Sr., gospel jazz musician, and his paternal aunt is popular gospel singer Vicki Winans. He was featured on his aunt's single, How I Got Over, which reached number 3. After graduating from Wayne State University in Detroit, he released his debut album, 2012, Beautiful, produced by his father and reflecting influences of pop, soul, R&B, and alternative rock. The album was well received, hitting the top 10 of the gospel albums charts. In 2014, he signed with Lifestyle Music Group, and the celebratory single I'm Good was released in the spring of 2015. The following year saw Bowman Jr. release the acclaimed Listen, which brought home a Grammy Award for Best Gospel Album. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, C.C. Winans, Goodness of God. 9, Kingdom from Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin. 8, Here Comes the Joy, Dietrich Haddon. 7, You've Been Good to Me, Zacardi Cortez. 6, Lord I Hear You, Lucinda Moore. 5, New, Ty Tribbett. 4, Call, featuring Erica Campbell from Jordan Armstrong. Number 3, Call on the Name, Marcus Jordan. 2, Thankful, J.J. Harrison. And your number 1 song, once again, comes from Jonathan McReynolds with Your World. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
And good evening to you, my dear sister Nina Taylor. So happy that you could be with us. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. Good evening to you, and also to you, those of you who are listening to us here and afar. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richards, Jr. I am your host for Open Mic with the Bishop. This is, as my dear sister Nina said, a show that tackles kingdom issues and current events. We are actually out here on the road. It's a little rainy, a little cloudy, about 40-plus degrees out here, and we're going to. I'm doing a remote, but there is one person who is stationary, and I'm going to introduce her to some and present her to others at this time. Pastor Anna Henderson out of Indianapolis, Indiana, a woman of God, a mighty fireball for the Lord. Pastor Henderson, how are you today, dear?
Bless her. Good evening and praise the Lord. We say grace and peace to our listening audience. I am so glad to be here tonight.
Amen. Well, don't go too far because you are going to be training tonight. I'm going to turn the reins into your hands, and I'm going to be at your disposal as you have need of me. We have to check and to see if there's anybody else that is with us. I know many do call in, and you don't necessarily say anything, and we so appreciate you calling in. But if there's someone on the line tonight that has a desire to participate with us, can you please state your name, what city you're in, and what church you represent? We'll give you a three-second window. Dr. Kimmy Robinson knows I can't stand dead air, so I'm going to count it down. I need you to start talking. 3, 2, 1. I gather nobody's with us tonight, or they got themselves on mute. Well, Dr. Kimmy, how are you tonight? So good to have you here. Thank you for being our producer, our engineer. I need you to open your mic so that we could just have a very brief conversation. How are you doing today? Bless the Lord.
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing everything I can do to be the best version of myself that I can be. I can't think of nobody better to be than me. What do you think of that answer?
Yep. Got to be me. If no one can take you for who you are, the hell with them.
You know, they can't pick you. What can I say about them, you know? I mean, so many different things are happening, and I do want to offer condolences as a former pastor of a church that I once attended. Apostle Rosa Joyner has transitioned. I want to bring that out there. Also, I want to show my condolences to the Rogers family out there in Indianapolis, Indiana, as their loved one, a very good man, loved this brother to life, very unique. Don't find too many like him. Dr. Jesse Rogers had transitioned and gone on to be with the Lord. And you know, I could talk about so many different ones. You know, of course, we know our Apostle Vincent L. Smith and to the Smith family. Our hearts are still, we're still praying for them. And I'm mentioning all these things, brothers and sisters, only because of the fact that we are in the last days and God is calling generals and soldiers home. They're just going home at such a rapid pace. I just got word that somebody we went to school with just suddenly transitioned just yesterday. I mean, there was no rhyme or reason, no cause. Nobody knows of any illness. The next thing you know, boom, that was it. You know, and so we want to just be mindful, and I want to remind those of you who are listening to us, I don't know where you're listening, whether you're listening to us from iHeartRadio, whether you're on Spotify, whether you're on the iTunes channel, Spreaker Radio, my good friend Jerry Royce, thank you for all that you do, sir. Wherever you are listening to us, I want to remind you that you are a spirit being. You live in a house of flesh, and that spirit's got to go somewhere when it parts from that house. Oh, yeah, your spirit will leave that clump of flesh, and that flesh will return to the earth and the spirit back to God. The question now becomes, will you be ready when Jesus comes? No, I didn't come on here to preach. We got a whole other topic, but I've got to get in a hurry for the kingdom of Almighty God. And so tonight we're going to continue our discussion on the power of the seed. I'm going to release it into the hands of, I'm going to say Reverend Doctor. I can say Reverend Doctor because who knows, God may elevate you to that at some point. To our pastor, Anna Henderson, to handle the show the way she sees fit. So without further ado, Pastor Henderson, the ball is in your court.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. We thank and praise God for each one of you joining us on tonight. And again, as we have heard, amen, we have a great topic in store for you tonight. Amen. Talking about the power of a seed. Amen. Coming from a familiar text found in the book of Mark, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 14 through 20 is our main scripture tonight. And before we get started, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Dr. Kimmy Kim if she would open up with prayer, and then thereafter I'll read the scripture, and then we'll open up our discussion on tonight. Dr. Kimmy Kim.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, thank you once again for another good day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Allow this lesson to further enhance your kingdom, Most High God, and we thank you so much for all that you have done. We will continue on honoring you, and we are so grateful to know you, and give us the necessary tools that we need for this wonderful lesson, and we make this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Kimmy Kim. We thank God for her. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading tonight, amen. For our topic, it's coming out of St. Mark, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 14. The sower soweth the seed, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. For when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in them, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown by thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and 100-fold. Amen. We thank and praise God for the reading of his word. Amen. In this parable, it's a parable, amen, to an audience of people that understood, amen, the background of sowing and reaping. Amen. And in this parable, it examines the heart of individuals who receive the word of God. And so as we look at this tonight in our discussion, I'm hoping that this discussion will stir us, amen, to examine what ground is our heart and to locate our heart tonight. Because God is locating the hearts of his people, and he's looking for that heart that will be good ground that will bring forth 30, 60, or 100 fold. And so as we talk about this tonight, hopefully it'll be something that will stir us, amen, amen, to want to be that good ground, amen, for the seed of the word of God. Amen. So tonight we're talking about the seed, and we're talking about the ground. So when we talk about the sower is the one who sows the grain, amen, and at the particular day and time, farmers were used to sowing the seed and bringing forth a harvest. And so the seed in this parable that Jesus was talking about represents the heart. The seed represents the word of God, and the sower is the one who's sowing the gospel message. Amen, excuse me. And the word of God is that seed. And so we're talking about the seed and the heart tonight. And so God gives his word, you know, to everybody. The scripture says in another place that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So the seed is liberally given to everybody. Everybody has an equal opportunity to receive the word. The scripture says, he that has ear, let him hear. And so this soil represents the heart of man. So it depends on what ground or what kind of heart that you have to receive this word is going to determine the fruitfulness of that seed. So tonight I want to just have us examine, amen, the word of God and look at this and let us examine our hearts. And it says, so let me go back to the scripture there because it says, the sower, he sows the word, Okay, he told us so. And then some fall by the wayside. So when the seed is being thrown out there, it's going a little bit everywhere. You know, it's going everywhere. But then it falls in different grounds. And it says immediately that the enemy, he comes to take that word out of the heart. Take that word with him, because the Bible says he's a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But the seed of God's word has power. It has life. It's alive. So when that seed goes out, it's going to bring forth a harvest, but it's going to depend on the type of soil that that seed falls on. It's going to determine, amen, the fruitfulness of that seed that brings forth. And so I want to ask you tonight, how can we examine our hearts? Because we're talking about the soil being our heart and wanting our heart to be that good ground, that the seed of God's word or the gospel message would take place in our heart and bring forth a fruitfulness in our lives. Well, how can we examine our heart, and how can we locate, you know, where our heart is? How can we identify the condition of our heart?
That's a very, very good question on identifying the condition of one's heart. And when you mention the four parcels of ground, you mentioned last the good ground. To me, that's mm-hmm. a heart that is prepared, a ground that has been cultivated, somebody that broke up fallow ground, somebody that wanted to get rid of whatever it is that was going to hinder them from having a good harvest. And when we talk about the word, I mean, Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit, they are life, because God is spirit, and God is life. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about the power of the seed, we are literally talking about the ability of Almighty God having the ability to penetrate good ground, meaning a heart that's been prepared. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 4, and I believe it's, I want to say verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit and the joint and the marrow. It's a penetrator of the heart. So a heart that has been prepared to receive is a heart that realizes that sin was in their life. They needed to overturn sin in their life, meaning not them physically per se, but spiritually speaking, they were willing to release and let go of those things that separated them from their God. They recognized that God's arm was not too short, that it could not save. They recognized that they move, they live, and have their being in God. They recognize that the power of God was working on their innermost being and ministering to them. And at the hearing of the word, I like how Paul said on one occasion to the Corinthian church, in the day you hear my voice, and God said this to the children of Israel too, as well, when he was with Ezra, and they had their assembly. He said, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. That lets us know right there that we have the power of choices. We have the ability to make a choice. And I'd like to encourage those of you who are listening to make the choice to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Be that good ground. I'm going backwards here, because if I go forward, we can easily talk about the stony ground. We could easily talk about the thorny ground. We could easily talk about the dry ground. But let's talk about the good ground first, because there are a lot of great people out there that have good hearts, and all they need is a little guidance, a little direction. They just need somebody to come and to help them to see a more excellent way. So in talking about this good ground, you know what I noticed about good ground? In order to have good ground, speaking from an agricultural standpoint, I'm not a farmer, let me say that up front. In order to have good ground, that soil had to be overturned. And what the farmer would do was take a compost, which was made up of manure and other minerals and things that would put nutrients in the ground to give that seed the assistance to grow. And so by turning that ground over and mixing in that compost or mixing in that manure, and sometimes they would use things like banana peels, potato peels, apple peels, or, you know, stuff that we ordinarily wouldn't think about. And all that stuff has to be mixed up in that ground. The farmer also recognized the fact that some things had to be removed. They had to turn around. Some of them don't like to use pesticides. And then there are those who will use pesticides to kill off any bugs that may have some, maybe thinking about eating the seed. And then they got to get sticks, stones, and other debris that may be in the ground out of the way so that when the seed actually is planted, it will have a straight, steady, smooth course where the seed could, you know, come up in the right way. We said this last week, sis, and I'm going to shut up right here. If you took a kernel of corn and held it up and looked how tiny it is, that little tiny kernel of corn does not look like it can produce that 8 to 10 foot stalk of 8 ears of corn. It does not look like it can do it. But yet that is good. Little becomes much when it's placed in our master's hand. I'm going to stop right there because I know you got some stuff that you want to add to it.
You said so much. I mean, you said a mouthful of that stony ground, and as you were talking, I was thinking about it because our dad grew a garden, and we would watch him years from being a young person up into adulthood. We kept a garden, and to watch him get in that garden and cultivate that ground, it was a process, and we would go away to school, leave him, and come back, and he's still cultivating the ground, and it took days, and it took weeks before he ever planted the seed because he had spent so much time cultivating that ground, as you said, putting in the manure, putting in that rich soil, turning it over, taking out the stones and the weeds and those deep roots that would be under the ground. It took time. And I was thinking, as you were talking, how when we examine our heart, it takes time to give self-care to the condition of our heart. And, you know, sometimes we have to put time in. We got to be willing, amen, to plug away those things and take out those stones and let go of some things and get that heart ready for the word of God. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's a process, but in the process of all that is happening, it's preparing the soil of our heart for the seed, the word of God. And so I just want to tell somebody tonight, you know, the song the saints would sing, put your time in. Hey, it's coming after a while. Put your time in to cultivating your heart, to be a heart that will be pliable. So when you hear the word of God, it'll fall on good ground and produce a good harvest. What are some of those things you need to take out of the heart? Like take out, you know, selfishness, take out doubt, take out fear, take out wrong thinking, take out those things that hinder the word of God. Pluck those things out and say, you can't, this can't stay in my soil. Because why? Because if it stays there, it's going to choke out the seed of the word when it gets there. So you want to get rid of all those things. You want to do a self-maintenance care on your heart. You know, it's so interesting because we give self-maintenance to a whole lot of other things that mean nothing. People spend hours putting on makeup. They spend hours getting their nails. They spend hours getting pedicures. But they don't want to spend any time doing maintenance on the heart, the condition of the heart, getting rid of those things. Amen, that stifle their growth in the Lord. But I declare that if we begin to spend time to do maintenance on our heart and begin to ask the Lord to examine our heart in the word of God, David says, you have searched me, Psalm 139:1-2. And he says, you have searched me, Lord, and you have known me, and you know my uprising and downsetting. Who knows the heart better than God? The Bible says we don't know our own heart, but we go to God and say, Lord, show me my heart. Show me what I need to let go of. Show me how I can get closer to you. God will begin to show you. So I just want to encourage us tonight, amen, as we examine, as we do self-maintenance on our heart condition, amen, that God, amen, will begin to show us.
You said, I mean, you said put a powerful statement out there. We take time to prepare and maintain so many things. The other three parcels of ground, let's go backwards. Let's go to the thorny ground for a minute. And this is an indication of an individual who thinks they would like to believe that they're prepared, but the truth of the matter is they can't get past what's in front of them. You ever seen that individual that says they believe the word, and when trouble comes and storms begin to rise, instead of stretching out on the word of God, they start panicking and they start falling apart and they start going crazy? They give in to the elements that are before them. And those individuals who are dealing with stony ground, we're just here to let you know that you do not have to be that the thorns and the thistles. Those are the cares of life. Mm-hmm. Those are going to always be there. See, you can't grow in your testimony and you can't mature in Christ if you will not understand this one scripture. And it was said in the book of Revelation. And he talked about mm-hmm. those whom John saw dressed in white. He said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and through the yeah. word of their testimony. You got to understand yeah. something. You got to go through some trials. You're going to go through some troubles. You're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go through persecutions. You're going to have to deal with ostracism. Too many folks is wearing their feelings on their sleeve and thinking yeah. that it's okay with God. You can't develop your faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because those who will come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Now, if you want to be rooted and anchored in the Lord, if you want to show that you are established in him, when those trials show up, James gave us the best advice. What did he tell us to do, sis? Count it all joy yeah. when we fall yeah. into diverse temptations. We don't understand yeah. what that means. We'd rather freak out. We'd rather panic. We'd rather fall apart. We'd rather cry, moan, complain, murmur, and everything that's negative to the word of God. Our God is a God of faith. And if we're going to walk in the power of his might, we've got to understand how to walk in faith. Somebody once asked the question, does God have faith? Yes, he does. You go back yeah. to the book of Genesis when God called forth for the sea to stop at a certain point, when he called for the day and the night, for the stars, the moon, when he called for the birds and all the animals and called for all the vegetation and plants, and he made everything and saw that it was good. There were over 9 times that God said, let there be, and be happen. Think about that. Yeah. Let there be. Be happen because of God. Jesus brought it into fruition when you looked at Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 23 and verse 24. 23 says, have faith in God, or as the translation goes in the Greek, have the faith of God. That's why I yeah. said, does God have faith? If you've got the faith of God, there is nothing too difficult for him, which means that there's nothing impossible for him, which means there is mm-hmm. nothing that you can't ask him for that he won't do for you. Verse 24, and I'm going to hush my mouth for a little bit one more time. It says, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not yeah. doubt in thy heart, but believe that whatsoever they say it, what to his seed is the power of the seed. To do yeah. what you say unto this mountain, you believe in your heart because you've got good ground and you've got great seed in that good ground, and you have faith to believe that that seed is going to germinate and it's going to grow up, first the stalk and then the plant and then the ear. You're going to get a harvest because of the seed that has been planted. So say to this mountain, be thou removed, and shall not doubt in their heart, but believe that that which he says shall come to pass, he or she shall have whatsoever they say it. That is just plain, elementary, straight biblical truth right there.
Yeah.
What else can I say to that? What else can we say to that?
Yeah.
Come on, sis.
Hallelujah. That's so good. That's so good. And so I think sometimes we have the image of being that Christian, but we don't have the heart of being the Christian. You know, we look the role, you know, we play the role and look the role as a Christian, but the heart, amen, tells the story of our life. Amen. And so in this time and hour, this is no time to play church or look church or just hang around the church. Some people just hang around because, you know, it's just a thing to do. But this is time to really examine your heart, to really know if your heart is really that fertile ground cultivated for the seed of God, that you can be fruitful to the kingdom of God. Because if you don't have roots, if you don't have roots in God, so when trouble and the perils of life come and tragedy and loss, and we can see that in this pandemic, that some, amen, did not have the roots to cause them to be stable. You know, you had people who were committing suicide. They were ODing. They were just doing a lot of things because they had never dealt with this kind of trouble before, and there were no roots in them to cause them to be able to be sustained in the time of tragedy and loss and difficulties. And so that's why it's so important to get deep roots, because trouble will come. Even as believers, trouble will come. But when your roots are deep in God, you have enough faith and courage and strength to sustain you, amen, as you go through. And so that's why it's so important to get to cultivate the heart, to get deep roots, so you can survive the trials and the hardships of life. Hallelujah. Because they're going to come. Hallelujah. The Bible says they're going to come. But he told us, be of good cheer. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. They could be of good cheer. Why? Because if they had deep roots in him, he would be their sustainer and their anchor in the time of trouble. So I just want to encourage them to get deep roots. And then, you know, if you're shallow, if you have shallow roots, you begin to know. You can start doing a self-examination. You know, they have these self-assessment tests, like in the magazines. They only say you can assess to see the kind of person you are, the kind of personality, what kind of job you like. And all they have all these different self-tests that you can do. And we can use the Word of God to do self-tests. And just even in our experiences, if you begin to find that you're easily moved off the Word of God or moved away from your faith when trouble comes, those are signs that you are on shallow ground, that you don't have enough roots. You know, and it's hard for a seed to survive on shallow ground. Hallelujah. So when you begin to see these things, that, you know, every time something comes, you're ready to leave the church, you're ready to break down, you're not patient, you just find your personality going in and out, up and down, and that's a sign that you have shallow ground, and you need to get deeper. You need to go deeper. You got to go deeper. And how do you do that? You keep on, cultivate. You keep on turning those things over in your life. You get closer to God. You stay in prayer. You stay in connection with people who are fortified in that word. We can take you deeper. We want to take us deeper.
Pastor, now I didn't want to cut you off. Everything you shared is just so, so, so good. But, you know, and I'm also noticing as we talk about that shallow ground, I try to equate that shallow ground to the way some Christians live their life. They have one foot in God and one foot in the world. And they can't figure out why everything is falling apart all the time. I mean, God wants all of you. God is not a part-time lover. God don't want a part-time lover. He know you. How is it that God is? We want God when things go bad, but while things are going good, we tell God, "I got this. You don't have to be here. Go on about your business." That's really what that is when you talk about that shallow ground. They're not understanding the depth of their Creator. They're not understanding the depth of his love. The very fact is that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Understand the depth of his love, that he allowed his son to come down and live 33 and a third years here on the face of the earth. Understand the depth of his love, that in that night that he was sentenced to die, that night that he was sentenced to hang on that gruesome, ugly cross, that same night he went into Gethsemane and began praying, and prayed so hard that his capillaries ruptured, and he began to sweat as if it were great drops of blood. That's the level of intensity. The writer of Hebrews picks up that intensity, and he talks about how he prayed so intense until he was quivering. I can't really begin to describe to you how intense Jesus prayed. Have you ever strained every muscle in your body to the place and point where your body just collapses? This is how Jesus prayed for you and prayed for me in that God. His flesh was not willing to do it. His flesh did not want to die. His flesh was unwilling to cease to exist, but yet his spirit was determined to get it done. He turned around and said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." individuals who walk in the shallowness of the fullness of the love of God, you're not experiencing the full love of God. You experience a mist. You haven't experienced a downpour. And it's not until you let go and let God, it's at that point you will experience the fullness of a downpour of the love of God. It is so amazing that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's so amazing that God turned around and allowed Jesus to go through this. And getting back to those shallow people with one foot in the world and one foot in God, you obviously do not understand what the Lord has done for you individually, because of the simple fact, if you did, you would give God a yes and get out of that shallow ground. Break up the fallow ground of your shallow ground and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your mind and set your spirit on fire. I mean, Jesus, my goodness.
Hallelujah. They don't know what they're missing, see. They think that they're having fun with the world. They don't know what they're missing.
Say that one more again.
They don't know what they're missing. My God, because when God begins to cultivate your heart and plant that seed, my God, hallelujah. Glory. He said he came to have life and get more abundantly. Hallelujah. It's his good will to give his people his good treasure. God wants us blessed more than we want to be blessed. Hallelujah.
Yes.
My God, they don't know what they're missing. And so we can just get an understanding, like you said, the revelation of his love for us, how much he loves us and how much he wants us blessed. Amen. We would come running, which, like you said, with a yes, Lord. Here I am. I'm sold out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what he's looking for, that heart that's sold out. Because the Bible says in Romans 12, when he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He doesn't want us to have mixture with the world. He doesn't want us to be compromising with the world and picking up worldly ideals, trying to solve spiritual problems. But he wants us to be cultivated where all that junk is out of us, so that he can put in all the good stuff and he can cause us to bring forth a hundredfold harvest in our life. God wants us blessed. And what happens with that mixture of the seed is that when you're on shallow ground, you also get those weeds that come along and other things begin to creep in and begin to tie into the seed, and eventually that weed or that other mixture begin to crush out the good seed. And that's why mixture is so dangerous in this hour. It is so important that we don't get caught up, amen, in the world's way of doing things, because eventually that seed, that wrong thinking can grip you and choke your faith out. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please. My God, so we don't want to get mixed up. We don't want to be separate. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. God is looking for that clean heart. He's looking for that heart that took time to be cultivated so he can impregnate us with his word. My God, hallelujah. He wants his word, amen, to grow up in us, to produce another image of him in the earth realm. This is so good. Oh, my goodness. My good, my good. You know, that was a... Oh, my goodness, the power of a seed. Ooh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Hallelujah.
My dear sister, I know we got just a few minutes left, but I am going to concede the rest of this show to you, because I am at the destination, and I've got a few things to take care of. We're going to pick this up. I'm going to leave it to you to close the show out. So at this particular point in time, let me get myself put together. I bless God for you. Thank you for taking the time to be here. You don't know how valuable you really are. You know, I'm just elated at what God is doing in you, with you, and through you. So with that, I turn it into your hands, and when you get ready to shut it down, just shut it down, because I will not be coming back.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. And amen. Safe travels. Amen. You're in our prayers, and we thank God for you. Amen. And we look forward to picking this discussion up on next week. Amen. With another dynamic word from you on next week. Amen. We thank and praise God for all of our listeners tonight. Amen. As we're coming to a close, bringing this shortly to a close, amen, I want to continue to encourage each and every one of us amen, to continue, amen, to examine our hearts, to get closer to the Lord. And another one of those grounds that was talked about is parable with the rocky place, those rocky places where the soil can't grow, amen. And so that seed, excuse me, can't grow the way that it needs to grow, amen, because the roots, amen, are either shallow or there are no roots at all, amen, to bring forth that seed. And so that seed is planted. But because, as we already talked about, that shallow ground, and then you have that thorny ground where the thorns and the thistles come to choke out the seed of the word. These are all plans and schemes of the enemy to keep you from growing in God, to keep you from your destiny, to keep you from the blessed place. You know, God has always put restrictions, or he always puts a strategy or a plan in place so that you can grow and be healthy. A lot of times we think of restrictions as obstacles, but really what they're doing is keeping you in the boundaries so that you can be blessed. And so many times people feel restricted, you know, because I can't do this and I can't do this and I can't go here as a believer. But those boundaries of God's word is set there to keep you safe, to keep you in a place where you can grow. And I was thinking about my dad grew a garden, and I would watch him put sticks around the plants, and I would watch him put a thin wire around the garden to keep out animals and to keep out those different things that would hinder the plant from growing and the seed from bringing forth. And God's word are boundaries to keep us in a place so that we can continue to grow and to be healthy. And I just want to encourage each one listening tonight to say that God has good plans for you. And his word, amen, is a boundary around your life, amen, and in your life so that you can be fruitful, so that you can bring forth that 30, that 60, that 100-fold return in your life. God wants you blessed. God has so much in store for his people. And so as we examine this parable, and I encourage each and every one of us, amen, to look at it and to read it, amen. It's also found in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the other Gospels, amen, of the same parable. And so look at that and study that, because God wants our hearts to be cultivated so that the seed of his word, so the gospel message, can penetrate. Because if there's ever been a time that we need the word of God and we need truth, it is now. We're living in an age of deception, and we're living in an age that's so dangerous that if we're not careful, if we don't keep our hearts in check, if we don't cultivate our hearts, it'll be so easy for a tear, for a lie to come in and slip into our heart, and we begin to believe the wrong thing. Amen. And we know what happened in the Garden of Eden. Amen. With Eve, with the seed, and she took up the seed, it brought forth death. And we don't want to die, amen, naturally or spiritually before the time. Okay, so it's so important. The Bible says truth will make us free. It says continue in my words and abide in me, and let my word abide in you. And so I just want to encourage you, amen, tonight, let's stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're on here tonight and you're listening tonight and you don't know the Lord, amen, as your Savior, amen, this could be your night where you can ask God, Lord, examine my heart. You might be tired of just doing the same thing, tired of being defeated, tired of being depressed, tired of trying to figure out your own problems and trying to handle your own situations. Well, Jesus, amen, he provided a new life for you. That he's given you an opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior. All you have to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he died for you. And the third day he rose with resurrection power in his hand. And he delivered you from all of your sins and all of your transgressions. Amen. That he may give you a new life. So I encourage you tonight to receive him as your Lord and Savior, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be baptized in his name, be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen, and allow the Lord to transform your life, to bring you into a place, amen, of freedom, deliverance, victory, and for his glory and for his honor tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for the listeners that have gathered on this line and on this podcast. Hallelujah. And our listening audience, wherever they may be listening from, Lord, we thank you for them tonight. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would just encourage your people tonight. We ask, oh God, that you would give us all a closer walk in you, Father God, that we would examine our hearts, oh God, that we would do self-care and self-maintenance, oh God, within ourselves, that we would let go of those things that displease you, oh God, that we remove the stony heart and we would take that hard-heartedness, oh God, out, oh God. Take it out of us, oh God, and help us to believe you, God. Take away doubt and fear and unbelief. Take away those things that don't please you, Father God, that our hearts will be good ground for the seed of your word, that we may live by your word, oh God, and grow up, oh God, to bring forth the harvest that will bring you praise, glory, and honor. Lord, save your people, oh God. Bring them into their blessed place, oh God. Cover your people and keep them, oh God. And we thank you for it all. We thank you for this time and this hour tonight. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Dr. Tibby Kim, do you have any last closing words? Dr. Kimmy Kim? Amen. Well, we thank and praise God for all of our listeners tonight. Amen. We thank God for you joining us. Amen. We pray that you have a blessed evening. Amen. That you have a blessed day tomorrow and a blessed weekend. Until we meet again next week, we will continue this same topic. Amen. The power of a seed. God's word has power. It has resurrection power. And this resurrection power can change your life forever. Amen. Be blessed. Amen. And we say shalom, shalom. Dr. Kimmy Kim, play that track. We say good night and we say God bless each one. Dr. Kimmy Kim, are you there? We thank God for our listening audience and we say shalom, shalom.